Welcome back, friends. This week's episode of the podcast is brought to you by K-Bar Soap Company. I hope you all take advantage of his holiday deals going on, because there is nothing better than giving someone the gift of showering freedom for Christmas. We guarantee you that whoever you give K-Bar to will call you, text you, drive over to your house, bang on your door to give you a big fat hug to thank you for giving them this soap. Every one of our listeners that has tried it absolutely loves it. Now, when you go and buy your gift of K-Bar, don't forget to use our promo code Hellbound at checkout, because that's going to save you a discount on your order. Next up is Three Brothers Winery. Now, over the fall, I was drinking Fall Spice, one of their hard ciders that they make. It's actually Warhorse Brewing is who it is, and it's a Three Brothers brewery, all under the same umbrella. And we linked up with them to get you guys a code for online ordering. If you live outside of New York, you will not be able to buy the hard cider. They can't ship it out of New York. That's not the way the license works. However, if you buy wine, it can be shipped out of New York. Another great holiday gift is the gift of alcohol. Three Brothers Winery makes some of the best wine in this country. It's straight from the Finger Lakes region of our area. They're known for their grapes, and Three Brothers is known for their wine and now hard ciders. So head over to Three Brothers Winery, and when you purchase something online, use our code HWH20, and that's going to save you 20% off your total order. Don't miss out on that opportunity. So now, I've just given you two things. Showering freedom with K-Bar. Scrub your nuts, scrub your body, whatever you got to do. Get ready to go out. Get your bottle of Three Brothers wine. Go to your Christmas party. Lather all up with your K-Bar prior to going. Get drunk on your wine. And then we have the morning solution for you. Morning Recovery by More Labs. This stuff is a lifesaver, especially if you have a Christmas party on a Saturday night and you got to get up to go to church or soccer practice or something on a Sunday. This will save you. And it tastes good. It's got a proprietary blend in it that will help your liver recover. It works. And they're so confident that it works, they have a 60-day guarantee that if you don't like your first order, they will refund you. No questions asked. They'll refund your money. Not many companies stand behind a product like that anymore, but More Labs does. So for now, head over to our website, hwhpodcast.com. Scroll down quick with your thumb on your mobile or whatever. Click on the picture there or the little link below the picture, and that'll save you 15% off on your morning recovery. So we just hooked you up for the holiday season. You got your stuff to get clean before you go to your holiday party. Smell all nice for all those hot coworkers. Don't bang them, though. Your wife will find out. Then you've got the wine to get drunk and get everybody drunk, because the stuff's amazing. Nobody will want to stop drinking it. And then we got your morning recovery by More Labs. Save yourself some cash, especially around this time of the year. Well, folks, it's Thanksgiving week. And I have to say, I'm kind of excited. Thanksgiving is a good holiday. It's where you can get all your family and friends together and eat as much as you want. And you don't give a shit. Nobody gives a shit. They eat all the sweet potatoes because they're good for you, but then they've got brown sugar and marshmallows on them that makes it completely horrible for you, and nobody gives a crap. They don't care. It's delicious, and that's all that matters. So, Sully and myself and the girls would like to wish you all a happy and safe Thanksgiving. For this episode, we were fortunate enough to get Bernie Sanders on with us. We respect his time. We appreciate it. We're still not voting for him, but get ready to feel the burn.
Hey. Hey. Ah. Oh, here we go. Come on. Hell now. Yo. We're hellbound with Halo. Put them up for the big show. Hey. What? We're hellbound with Halo. Yo. Put them up on the big show.
Hellbound with Halo's the hellbound.
Sully, this is a monumentous occasion for Hellbound with Halos.
It is.
I never thought to this day we'd have somebody like the person that we're going to be having on with us. But it's happened, you know, through mm-hmm. the True series and Shred and everything like that. And, you know, us busting balls and everything. We finally made it to the point where we've had this opportunity.
I feel the burn.
Do you? Because I feel the burn, too. Bernie, are you there?
Yes. Hello. I'm here. How are you?
Great.
Welcome, Senator.
Thank you very much. It's a pleasure to be here. And before we get started, I just want to say, first of all, that I am shocked, absolutely shocked that I am on a podcast made by firefighters and for partially other firefighters. And there's a man named Sully involved in the operation. I wouldn't have, in a million years, would have thought that would be a possibility. But here we are.
It's we're not that many out there, so.
But it's a pleasure to be here on your podcast, any platform that I can access to spread my message and talk to people such as yourselves about the election. I'm more than happy to do it.
Now, Bernie, is this your first podcast you've ever done? Do we have that honor?
No, my team is a very eclectic young group of people. So I've been doing podcasts, all sorts of things. You know, even in 2016 when I ran then, I was doing podcasts. But now there's, you know, Snapchat and TikTok and all these doodads and ding dongs, whatever. And, you know, you gotta, whatever medium there is to connect to people, you know, if you're running for president, you have to do it.
Yeah. He just smoked a fatty with Joe Rogan.
That was the Tesla guy, I think. But we're not ready for that yet.
Right.
I'm trying to stay focused. I made it through the 60s alive with that stuff. So, you know, I'll leave that for the younger folks at this point.
You made it this far. Now, you sound great for just having a heart attack. How are you feeling? You look great
on
the stage.
Well, to be clear, it was a heart event. you know, it wasn't, you know, I want to nip those rumors in the bud there. It was a minor heart event. I had a stent put in. It just required a day or so of rest in the hospital. And, you know, they sewed me up. Everything's fine. Everything's good to go. So, any concern about my health, I'd like to ameliorate at the soonest opportunity.
Well, we're glad you're well.
Thank you very much. I appreciate that. I'm glad to be well. Glad to be here talking to you, gentlemen.
Did you get that burn checked up?
The burn, it doesn't go away. There's no cure. There's no cure for the burn.
I hear you.
Let's hope, at least.
Let's hope.
Bernie, you're from Vermont. Now,
but that's where I've lived for the past 35 years or so.
Okay, so if I lived in Vermont, I'm an ice cream guy. Do you eat a ton of Ben and Jerry's since you live there?
Well, you know, I try to moderate my fat and sugar intake, obviously, since the hot event. But I personally know Ben and Jerry, and I have supported their attempts to have a sustainable ice creamery for many years. And living in Vermont, my favorite flavors are there's a handful that are only available in Vermont. I don't know if you know that or not. I mean, there's some that they don't export outside of the state. For example, Boysenberry and Bark Sundae. That's one of my favorites right there.
Boysenberry.
Eugene V. Debs Toffee Crunch. Green Mountain Boys Surprise. And vanilla. What's wrong with just plain vanilla? You know,
nothing.
Every now and again, you just want something that's simple. You don't have a bunch of crap in there to, cut your teeth on.
Do you eat it with sprinkles?
We do have some at our home, at the house. So we do put, sometimes when my wife and I have a bowl, we put sprinkles on. Multicolored makes it sort of look festive. We have a good time.
Absolutely. Got to go rainbow.
Sprinkles are for winners.
In some parts of the country, they're called jimmies. Did you know that?
I did. Yeah.
Yeah.
We were just talking about that the other day.
I believe in Minnesota, upper Midwest, they call them jimmies. You know, you have to be familiar with the lingo. And when you're traveling all around the country, politicking and then electioneering, I mean, you can't make a mistake and call something sprinkles. and they don't know what you're talking about. They're like, what's this guy talking about? Sprinkles. What the hell is that?
Kind of like Biden saying he was in Iowa when he was really in Ohio. I mean, you wouldn't make a mistake like that.
No, I would not. And I'm not going to, I know Joe Biden, he's a friend of mine, but, he's borderline senile, let's be honest.
Yeah. I'm sorry to hear that.
Poor Joe.
Poor Uncle Joe.
He had a good run.
Obviously, you've met a lot of people in your life. You've done a lot of different things in your life. You're not a young spring chicken anymore, Bern. Who is your hero? Who's been your hero throughout life?
Well, I mean, anyone who fought for social justice in this country, for economic justice, I look at people like that. And, you know, I feel like the best I could do is try to emulate their legacy, whether it's, you know, Martin Luther King or, you know, La Follette or, you know, the progressives of the early 20th century or the labor leaders, the people who made it so that the middle class could be built, out of the labor movement. I think these are things that I'm trying to continue with my campaign and my platform. So those are the people I look back towards. And what they fought for and how hard they fought for it. So those would be, I suppose, the people I look up to.
That's it.
And I should say younger people as well who are doing that. You know, people much younger than myself, the people, you know, Alexandria Cortez, whatever her name is, you know, in Congress, who has endorsed me, people like that who are bringing a new lifeblood into the political arena in the United States and a new fight. Those are people who are very inspiring as well.
I got to say, between you and her, it's a blast to watch. It's fun.
Well, it's sort of an odd couple when we're standing there together. I understand that. You know, I'm old and Bernie and she's all, you know, you know, whatever.
Is there a possibility she could be your running mate?
Well, you know, at this point, I wouldn't rule anything out. Obviously, we're just focused on getting closer to the nomination at this point. But obviously, age-wise, I think it would be, you know, an intelligent thing for me to perhaps choose someone who is not in the late 70s, for example, and female. So perhaps, you know, she might be in there. And she's, you know, not too hard on the eyes either. You know, come on, give me a break here. Not made of wood.
We won't disagree with you, Senator, on that
one. Well, then Tulsi Gabbard might be in the running then if you want a hottie.
Well, yeah, her too. You know, she's got that sort of, you know, Rogue from X-Men, you know, white streaks in her hair. That's kind of a hot look there. And, you know, she's always got that Hawaiian necklace thing going on.
Yeah.
You know, yeah, she could be a very viable, running mate as well, based on those criteria.
Senator, when you make it to the top, as you are, and you're such a political figure, you're at risk for being made fun of on popular shows, particularly SNL. How do you feel about the Larry David lookalike?
Well, you know, I mean, that's just part of the thing of being in politics. I mean, you're going to be lampooned. I mean, people are going to do these hackneyed impressions of you or whatever. But, you know, if I had to be portrayed by somebody, Larry David, who I've since learned is actually my distant cousin through one of those DNA, you know, on TV tests. That's the real thing. You know, I mean, it could be worse. Than have Larry David, you know, portray you on Saturday Night Live.
Could be Alec Baldwin.
Yeah, it could be. Right, he could do a horrible impression of me like he does a horrible impression of Trump. He's a very talented actor, but, you know, he's got no business doing, you know, impersonations.
I hear you.
So let me ask you, obviously, a lot of the people across the country want to know how the fuck... I shouldn't even swear at you, Senator, and I apologize.
Oh, that's fine. I'm from Brooklyn. I've heard it all before.
How are you going to pay for everyone's college? You want to give free college. It's just, I don't see it possible. How are you going to do it?
Okay, look, here's the thing. Whenever we go, we'll spend $1 trillion on a war. No one ever asks, how are we going to pay for this? How are we going to pay for that? You know, we just spend $1 trillion, and you can't even question it. So right there, that shows that, you know, it's a prioritization problem. But specifically, I'm not saying give everyone free college. I'm not trying to eliminate private universities, but public universities should be able to provide free tuition to in-state students. And this can be provided by a tax plan that taxes Wall Street. We bailed out Wall Street in 2008, right? Yeah. And now those too big to fail banks. They're bigger, and they're even too big to fail. So we spent all that money bailing them out, and they're going gangbusters. They're doing fantastic. So it seems like the least we could do is what my proposal is to tax the speculation transactions that go on in Wall Street to pay for that college. We've looked it up. It would pay for it. End of story.
So you want to go after the billionaires?
I want to tax people so that everyone pays a fair share of taxes. Yes, absolutely.
So,
but it's not going against. It's not going after billionaires in a personal way.
Right. Right.
Right. Well, I don't think against billionaires as human beings.
No, because they're your friends.
They're not the problem, but they're a symptom of the problem of wealth inequality in this country.
Senator.
They're the result of 50 years of siphoning money out of the working and middle classes up to the top 1% of the top 1% of the top 1% of the population of the United States.
We're just talking about the smart kids here, correct?
Which smart kids?
The ones that go to college.
Well, let's be honest. I mean, you know college kids as well as I do. Some of them are morons. I mean, you know, I mean, let's not pretend that just because you go to college, you're smart. Okay. I mean, I'll admit that.
Well, some would argue that giving everyone free college makes it just an extension of public schooling.
Well, that's exactly what, yes, exactly. Because we had that ideal, you know, for a long time. We had to fight to get public schooling in this country. I mean, that was a fight. But now the reality, the situation is a high school diploma does not get you the type of job that it got you 50 years ago. Having a college degree is just as necessary as having a high school diploma was 50 years ago. So by extension of that very concept, you know, we should be giving an opportunity for some kids to have free college. Now, if you want to spend $150,000 and go to Harvard, that's fine. You know, you're still free to do that. I'm not trying to take that opportunity away from people who want to spend that money. But if you live in Illinois and want to go to the University of Illinois for a four-year degree, you should be able to do that without incurring the amount of debt, this debt that's saddling our population of students and young people.
So what do you think's going to differentiate? What do you think's going to set people apart then? Because when people ask me, hey, Kevin, and I've said this at freaking 15 times on this podcast, Kevin, I'm going to go to school for Harry Potter wizardry. I'm going to go to school for this, that, the other thing.
Oh, you got accepted?
Yeah, I finally did.
Okay.
All right. I'm going to stop you right there. What school? Are they offering Harry Potter majors? Because I may consider my whole plan if I knew this is going on for real.
Well, I'll tell you what.
Star Wars studies, maybe.
If they had Harry Potter, one of my daughters would definitely be in line to take that.
So you're saying women, you know, if you want to say women's studies or all these things, you know, whatever, you know, English majors or whatever, that they're not going to get jobs is what you're saying,
well,
right? Why should we pay for that?
I think you're just evening the playing field. I think a college degree is what differentiates and separates society.
Well, you know, you're right about that, but I want to make it so that they have the exact opposite effect, so that, you know, everyone has the opportunity, if they so wish, to have a four-year state school degree.
Got it.
And see how worthless that is, just like everybody else. The poor kid, you know, the working class kid, the poor kid who wants to major in women's studies, they should have the opportunity to see how worthless of a degree that is, just the same as a rich kid who wants to major in women's studies. I want to level the playing field.
Well, we'll know you'll level the playing field, all right. But tell me, what are your thoughts about the recent killing of al-Baghdadi? There's a lot of mixed things coming out of Washington. Do you think it was a good thing?
I heard he's a dog person.
Well, not anymore, Rishna. I mean, I recognize the need to, I mean, there are dangerous people in the world. It'd be very naive for me to not think that. But I think in this case, this is someone that was in charge of an organization that was a threat to not only American interests, but interests in that particular region, a very destabilizing thing. I'm glad he's gone.
Breaking up, Kev.
What the hell just happened?
He broke the internet.
Well, we could still, you know, we'll need him. He and I could talk.
We don't, yeah. He just gets in the way anyways. He's very right-leaning.
Well, you know, I mean, it takes all kinds. I'll discuss things with anybody. If the internet was a government-run utility, we wouldn't have these problems. We wouldn't have these rolling blackouts like we do.
He's not lying.
All right. Well, I'm sure you all missed me because I just lost complete internet. But, Bernie, I want to thank you for coming on with us.
All right. I see it says recording.
Yep.
Time.
Yep. The gig's up.
With what?
Well, obviously you're not really Bernie.
Oh, okay.
For us to have Bernie Sanders on would be quite the feat. We're not that popular yet, but I do want to welcome you. Mike McRae, welcome to Hellbound with Halos podcast.
Thank you for having me. I hope we didn't trick people too hard there.
You are an amazing impressionist with a mighty large background in comedy.
Well, thank you. I've done some stuff, yeah. I do a lot of impressions in my act, and that's led me to do a lot of fun things. I do Bernie on the Jimmy Dore Show, which is another online political comedy podcast, and it's also a YouTube show.
Okay.
Where I do every week, I do all the voices on there, so it's a lot of political figures.
When did you realize, like, hey, I want to get into comedy? Was this something you, like, when you were in high school, the guys were like, you were the big jokester, or how did that all pan out?
Well, I did impressions of teachers a lot.
Okay.
So, you know, and to the point where, like, they would let me go up at assemblies and do little, like, mini stand-up acts where I would do impressions of teachers. And so that, you know, I enjoyed doing that. And then, but then I got out of school and then I was like, well, I kind of want to keep doing that in some capacity, not my high school teachers, but actual stand up. So, yeah. So I started doing open mics at the Houston Laugh Stop after I got out of college and kind of went from there. So, yeah, I started as a stand up who did a lot of impressions in their act. And then, you know, if you do impressions, people can use you for stuff.
Oh, absolutely.
Like podcasts.
Yeah, right.
Well, I mean, yeah. it is a golden age for people who do, you know, audio.
It is
based stuff. Yeah.
So to do the voices, do you have to practice that, or is that something that literally comes naturally?
You know, if I'm trying to get someone new, it takes a while.
Yeah.
You know, I got to kind of mess with it a little bit, but once it clicks in, like, it's a matter of just sort of honing it.
Okay.
But once I kind of get that locked in, then it's just sort of a question of, like, building out the character and kind of figuring out what that person would say in any given situation, to the point where you can just kind of riff
right
with him. Like with Bernie Sanders, or I do Mitt Romney on a lot of things on this show, Our Cartoon President on Showtime, and on Howard Stern.
Yep.
And I do Mitt Romney, quite frankly, as much as much more than I do Bernie Sanders. And, you know, I've served in the Senate now for a couple of years. And this Bernie, he's a little bit of he's kind of a grouchy guy, quite frankly. He's not fun to be around.
Yeah. He's not. Well, I'll tell you what. He's funny to listen to.
Well, that may be true. But, I mean, try to get something done with that guy. That's just, oh, give me a break, brother. That guy's a fucking asshole. I usually don't swear much.
Well, we're glad we could get you to swear on here. But you started your comedy career in 99. I read up on you, obviously. I did my homework.
Uh-huh.
You propelled up the chain pretty fast. It looks like you started in Comedy Central in 2001. So you're only talking a few years, and you were well known.
Well, I mean, I did some stuff. I don't know if I was well known or not. It's amazing how much stuff you can do in comedy and people don't know you, really, unless they follow it or whatever. But yeah, no, I mean, I had some, early on, I had some pretty lucky things happen, without a doubt.
Is that what you'd call it, lucky? I mean, you got to imagine there's a lot of people in the comedy world, right? And for you to get noticed and even be asked to be even on Comedy Central, I mean, you're talking about a TV channel that is solely based around comedy. That's a pretty good feat, in my eyes, at least.
Yeah, no, I'm not trying to take anything away from it, but you don't, I mean, everything that you get in comedy or show business, there's a little bit of luck involved.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of, like, being at the right place at the right time and just, you know, just have it happening to know the right person who just happens to need someone who does what you do. And they think, like, oh, wait, yeah, that guy or whatever.
Right.
That's just, there's a lot of just a lot of that.
Sounds like politics.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Or, you know, probably any kind of business type thing, you know, I would imagine. It's no different.
Now, what year were you on Letterman?
That was 07.
What was that experience like?
That was pretty wild. I Dave did two of these things. They're called Impressionist Week.
Okay.
Where like every night that week, there would be someone who did impressions. And I knew the guy that booked the stand-up acts on Letterman. And he said, hey, man, so I submitted for the first one. I didn't get it. But then like when the second one came around, he's like, hey, you really need to submit for this. Like, here's another thing that happens a lot. I had an insanely short notice.
Okay.
Like 2 days. I'm on the road. I had to get a tape at a club in Kentucky. And then in order to make the deadline to get it there, I had to do this. I didn't even know this was a thing. I had to do like a same, not even overnight. It was technically like a same day FedEx delivery.
Really?
Which was insanely expensive. And I'm like, yeah. Well, I better fucking get this. Right. But it got there and then I got it, which was great. But then, you know, I only had like a few more days to hone it in clubs and then prepare for it and get up there. There's a lot of like, you know, there's a lot of like, okay, here's your chance. You don't have a lot of time to prepare. There's a lot of that in entertainment as well.
Yeah. I was going to say, how long did your bit have to be?
You know, I think I had to hone it down to 4.5 minutes. That's, mm-hmm. I think that was the standard late night set.
What's a normal set?
You mean on stage or?
Yeah, like average on stage. What is it? Half hour, 45 minutes, hour?
Well, if you're headlining, it's about 45 minutes. If you're featuring, you know, it's 25 to 30. But then, you know, if you're just doing a short set and a showcase show, it could be anywhere from 5 to 10 minutes, maybe. So yeah, those short TV set. I mean, that's like a 4.5 minute set is a lot shorter than what you would normally do. So you got to like kind of chop things up. You have to cut things out,
which is going to be hard because you got to like build it up and then like make sure it works. And like you said, that's not a lot of time to.
Yeah. And when you're starting out doing stand up, like the idea is to get more time. Like you want more time, like mm-hmm. Right. You want to be able to fill more time. Because the goal is like, well, I want to get to 30 minutes so I can feature or whatever. So if anything, you're like spreading things out. And then the real goal should be having a short TV set. And that's like the opposite kind of pressure. It's like, no, you got to condense it, chop it up, make it shorter, which is really how your comedy should be. It should be like, you know, cut out the fat and kind of get to it as quick as possible.
So are you like constantly like carrying like a notebook around with you and like jotting down material? Like,
I don't carry it with me, but I, you know, yeah, I always have one. I always have an active notebook somewhere, you know, it's usually at home, or if I take it, you know, if I'm going somewhere to try to write, you know, I take it with me. But, yeah, I'm old. I like a lot of people just use their phone and use like the notes aspect. Like I'm too old. Like that never really clicked. Like I have to write things down. I have to write things down with my hand or it won't like stick.
But like Sully said, I mean, it's got to be going from a half an hour or even 45 minute set and trying to condense that down into 4.5 minutes. There's got to be a rhyme and reason behind what you do or your shtick, right? I mean, you've got a build up point. You've got, I can only imagine.
Well, within that 30 minutes, I mean, there's a bunch of, there's just like a series of bits or whatever. So you just take, you know, whichever one of those you want to do and you kind of recombine them. You know, it's all kind of fluid. You just got to know yourself and know your act pretty well and you figure it out.
Who's your favorite comedian?
Oh my gosh.
Do you have one? I mean, I'm sure you have a few, but I mean, like I love Kevin Hart. I think he's absolutely hilarious, but is there one in particular that like really pops out at you?
There's not really one that stands out. I mean, there's sort of like all time favorites like Brian Regan, you know?
Oh yeah. George Carlin,
yeah. You know, guys like, you know, Bill Burr always kills me. Maria Bamford, you know, but I haven't seen a lot of these, you know, I haven't seen a lot of these people's new stuff. You know, I don't watch stand up on TV as much as I used to.
Yeah. I was watching the old Pryor the other day.
Oh wow. Yeah. You know, he was always like, I mean, he was great, obviously, but I think what stands out to me is like his characters, like when he would talk about growing up, mm-hmm. you know, how he would just kind of like really flesh out these characters so well. You don't really think of him as much doing that, but like he, you know, he was brilliant at that.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. And I think like what you were just doing with us, I mean, I think that's awesome. Like for you to morph yourself into a different character and to play that up. I think that's something that's hilarious to me, and I think it entertains a lot of people. And I don't know how you do as many people as you do and adjust the voice and get into that mind frame of how they would
react. It's fun. You know, it's, well, practice, you know, I do it on stage. I mean, obviously when I do it on stage, I'm like doing stuff that I wrote. I mean, it's like, you know, I'm doing bits or whatever, but a lot of times when I'm, you know, I've been working on the Jimmy Dore show for, wow, like 8 years now. And a lot of it's scripted, but a lot of it is improvised as well. So you just kind of exercise that muscle just like you would anything else.
And I think like being an impressionist like you are, it's like a double-edged sword. Like you got to be good at the impression and still have good material. Whereas like if it was just me going up on stage, like you'd be like, oh, here comes that chubby guy. That's not funny. you know what I mean? Like now you got to sound like that person.
Well, that may still be the case with me. I'm not saying it depends on the night. Sometimes that's what I feel like too. But yeah, I mean, doing impressions, it's, you know, kind of a fun parlor trick. You know, a lot of comics feel like it's cheating or whatever. And I got that sense when I first started, like, I think impressions have had kind of a renaissance in the past 10 years. But before that, when I started, impressions were really looked down upon by comics.
Okay.
And so I kind of put this pressure on myself to really kind of choose impressions that other people weren't doing, that weren't like kind of industry standard. Like when I started, it was like, if people were doing impressions, they were doing Arnold Schwarzenegger, they were doing Christopher Walken,
right?
That, you know, stuff that sort of like was, whoever was doing that was not the first person to do those voices. So I figured out, A, if I could do voices that people, and now I know a lot of people do Bernie too, but I mean, I hadn't heard anyone do a Bernie impression when I started doing it on the Jimmy Dore show, but whatever. But the idea was like, if you could start doing impressions that people hadn't heard before and also have a funny bit around it, that it's not just like, here's what this guy sounds like.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, so if you work those two together and that sort of like got other comics to be like, yeah, okay, this guy's a little different.
Well, that's what I think drew me to you because, you know, I had watched a bunch of videos with you doing some impressions of Bernie and that and caught some shows that you were on.
Oh, cool.
And I'm like, you know what? Not only you like take it to another level.
Well, thank you. That's what I try to do.
The bit you just did with us with Bernie, I mean, not only were you able to talk like him, but you actually were able to communicate, like Sully was saying, you got into Bernie. You were able to answer a little bit of it was off the cuff, but
yeah,
kind of like how Bernie would answer. And that takes a lot. You know, it's not like you're just getting up there and just talking like Bernie. Now, that's funny. But to take it to that next level, you know enough about Bernie in order to have a conversation as him. And that's pretty amazing, man.
It takes a little, you know, kind of osmosis. You got to observe people. And I think I've been, if anything, that's like something I'm kind of good at. I've always been kind of good at doing is observing people and like, how do they talk? How do they move when they talk? Like, what are the types of things they say? People kind of repeat, you know, they speak in patterns, you know, every person does this and kind of picking up on that. I've always been kind of good at that. So yeah, it just takes just some observation and some listening.
Now I see here, and this Sully may really love this one. Would you mind doing an impression of Dan Aykroyd?
Oh my God. Where are you seeing that?
Oh, I dig.
Boy.
Are you able to still do him?
Man, I don't know. I can do way better ones than that. I mean, you know, you want to talk to George Clooney for a little bit. You want to talk to Vince Vaughn.
You do a lot of voice acting too, right? For television shows and.
I do, mainly, a lot of like video game stuff, a lot of, you know, some commercials or whatever. So just a lot of it's my normal speaking voice. Yeah, but if you want to hear, you know, if you want to talk to any of those guys or let's see.
Well, you pick. Let's hear a couple of voices that you do a good job at. We'll converse with you in them a little bit, and then we'll move on to the next one. You can pick.
How about George Clooney? You guys fans. You guys got to be fans. You're a couple of dapper guys, aren't you? I'm picturing you two sitting there. I can't see you.
because we don't have the cameras turned on. But I am picturing you two wearing a couple of tuxedos with the tie undone, you know, like we do in Vegas.
Yeah.
Sipping a martini, because that's what I'm doing right now. Am I wrong? Don't tell me I'm wrong.
No.
You're a couple of Tampa guys, aren't you?
George is a martini guy.
Have you tried my tequila? Have you tried it?
I don't dabble with tequila.
You guys got to try this stuff. It's fantastic.
Yeah, Sully does some wacky shit on tequila.
Yeah.
Oh, does he now? What does Sully do? Let me guess. Put a lampshade over your head?
Yeah. That's it. That's all I got. Just a lampshade.
Hey, man, you got to start somewhere. You got to start somewhere.
Love Ocean's 11.
Thank you. Some of the proudest work I've done is with the Ocean series.
So, George, you've had quite the career going on. You've done a lot of humanitarian work. You've dated some hot-ass women.
Well, you know.
Who's your favorite? I mean, Stacey Keibler was freaking gorgeous. Why would you break up with her?
Now, I got to be honest with you, buddy. I don't even remember who that is.
Well, you've been through so many goddamn women.
Keibler. Now, did I date Jennifer Lawrence? I can't even remember. Some of these women are wildcats. That's all. It's a lot of blur, a lot of scratching. That's all I remember. But now I'm a happily married man with twins.
Oh, yeah.
My wife's name is Amal. That's exotic. I like that. You guys know what I'm talking about.
Yeah. You're an exotic man, George. You've got it going on. Are you as exotic in bed as you are in, normal everyday life?
A gentleman never tells. Actually, I'm kind of a meat and potatoes guy in the sack. You know what I mean? Normal thing. You hear Vince Vaughn?
Yeah.
Hey, okay, so you guys, hold on. You guys are firefighters?
We are, yeah. Vince.
Do I have this right? So you guys fight fires, but then you also have a podcast.
Yes.
Yeah, believe it or not.
That just goes to show literally everybody has a podcast at this point.
Well, you're not wrong there.
But you know what? I'd rather listen to the firefighter podcast than the one that the fucking cops have. I love firefighters. They're like cops that you can root for. You can be excited about them. Firefighters, and they actually help people instead of pulling my drunk ass over on Sunset Boulevard. Oh, Jesus. 4 a.m. Firefighters don't do that.
No, we would have helped you on your way.
You help people. You get cats out of trees. Cops just shoot them out. Lazy fucks. Do you 5-0 listening to the show? What's going on?
Oh, yeah. We got tons of 5-0.
All right. I take it back. I kid. I'm joking around. I'm a big supporter of the police department in Chicago where I live.
Don't drive through Buffalo because one of our co-hosts is a cop out in that area.
Okay, you know what? I'll make a point not to drive through Buffalo. You know, that was on my to-do list. But I'm going to scratch that off.
Well, you never know when you want to catch a Bills game now, Vince. You know, I mean, they're an up-and-coming team this year.
I got satellite.
They're not playing the Bears, and he's got satellite.
That's right. I live in Chicago. You guys know?
No, I didn't know that.
Love the pizza.
Yeah. Oh, you like the thick crust?
Yep. The tomato pie.
Yeah. It's a little much for me. I got to watch it. I get puffy face if I have too many carbs. I can't do it anymore. I grew up eating that shit. Can't do it. Is that or drink? I got to choose.
You got to pick your carbs. You got to pick your poison.
Pick your poison. You guys know what you're talking about.
Absolutely. We're right on with you. We are just like you, Vince. We're the same people, essentially.
Yeah, just regular guys. That's all. Regular guys.
Yeah.
Doing a podcast on Squadcast.
Doing crazy things.
Living the life.
Never been in couples retreat or movies by Ron Howard or anything like that, but we're getting there.
Various movies that I don't remember that I was in. I could be filming a sequel right now. I wouldn't know.
Well, you've been in so many movies.
It's not like I do the Wikipedia. I only read the Wikipedia pages of people I do impressions of. I probably should, quite frankly. Probably help me flesh these things out a little better. Make the conversations a little more accurate.
Fucking George Clooney's got all the women. You've got all the movies. I mean, hey, you know, it's easy to get caught up.
I don't even have a Wikipedia page, so I got that going for me.
There's a lot of fun facts that I need to catch up on.
Kevin can find and Vince can learn. So. Who else you got?
Let's see. Well, who's in the news? Rick Perry looks like he's about to be part of the impeachment thing.
We don't hear much of him up here.
Well, I think you're going to hear more of him soon because he's Secretary of Energy and looks like he's about to be involved in the whole impeachment thing about the Ukraine, which that's a bunch of words in a row that I don't know what they mean. So that's going to be a lot of fun to watch. It's going to be a good time. So anytime that someone I do an impression of is back in the news, I get very excited about it. That's what we call job security.
Yes.
Are you for having Trump impeached or are you against having Trump impeached?
Well, whatever happens that I get away with not going to jail, I guess that would probably be the thing that I'm most in favor of.
I think most politicians would agree with you.
Right. So, I mean, when it comes down to it, I'll say whatever the fuck you want me to say about that dude. So I don't have to go to jail.
Now, you were in the Boy Scouts as a young kid.
Yes, I was. I started many fires, but they were contained.
Is there anything we need to worry about coming out of Boy Scouts on you?
No, back then it was a very wholesome thing. You know, in Texas, Boy Scouts in Texas, no weird things happen. I mean, we may have shot some Indians, but in real life, but other than that, no, nothing weird. It was a different, when I was young, it was a different time. None of that weird shit was going on. You know what I mean?
Right. Well, that's like still legal in Texas nowadays, isn't it? Or is they finally outlawed that down there?
Everything is legal. We have no laws. And that's how we like it. Don't y'all Yankees be coming down here and changing our lawless hellscape.
That's right. We have
Please don't. No,
that's why everybody wants to move to Texas. You guys can just do whatever the fuck you want.
It's a free-for-all, man.
I was just reading someplace that Texas has the most lions in the world.
Wait, what?
Yeah. Like, I think it was like male lions or something. Like, there's more.
My bad. I'm sorry. That's my fault. I had a crazy party one time about 30 years ago. Then they got loose and started breeding. And now the population's out of control. It's kind of like deer, man. They're just like roaming around.
We interviewed Trevor Spanen, who's one of the most richest men in Australia. He's like an Australian playboy, and he actually had.
Is this a character or a real guy?
No, real guy.
It's a real dude, yeah.
And he was on our podcast, maybe a month and a half, 2 months ago. He actually had
elephants, and they wrote a law saying he couldn't have any more elephants in his property.
Yeah.
That's when you know you made it.
Yeah.
Are these happy animals? I'm going to guess no.
I don't know.
He's not allowed to have elephants in his yard anymore after that stint.
Well, he's not richer than Rupert Murdoch, is he?
No.
He's only the richest man in Australia because I moved to New York City. Remind your friend of that.
I'll tell you what, if you ever went to one of his parties, I'm sure he would gladly welcome you with many women.
Well, are you talking to me or Rupert Murdoch?
Rupert Murdoch.
Oh, well, it's disappointing. I thought you meant me.
He may invite you, Mike. I mean,
I got to hear this episode. This guy he's just a rich playboy.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, he was a professional soccer player.
Then okay.
He got injured. He got into modeling. And now he's like a real estate guy down in Australia. And he owns his own tobacco company and he basically just made a name for himself through real estate and his tobacco company. He's just making bank.
Yeah. He's buying all the property on the Gold Coast. He said like he is literally buying a hotel, building it up, and then walking next door to the hotel next door to that one and buying that one and doing the same thing. He's literally trying to buy the whole Gold Coast.
Well, I hate this guy.
Well, go look at his Instagram because you might hate him even more when you see
him. Yeah, no, I can't. I don't think I can handle it.
Do you have any gigs coming up anywhere? Or?
Well, you can hear me every week on the Jimmy Dore Show for sure. I've got follow me on Twitter and Facebook or Instagram. I just joined Instagram today, as a matter of fact, so might be hard to find. I'm going to have some of my own projects coming up, and then if you are in the Austin area, you can catch me on December 2nd at the Spider House Ballroom right there in the UT area. I'll be doing a show there with some friends. So check it out.
Yeah, we got a lot of listeners in Texas. So,
oh, right on. Okay,
hopefully
cool.
They'll get out to support you. And, man, you are one funny-ass dude, and we really appreciate you taking some time out of your, I'm sure, busy schedule to sit down with us and do some impressions and have a little bit of fun with us. And
hey, my pleasure, you guys. I appreciate you having me on.
It's an honor for you to join us. And
hey, no, I appreciate it, and thanks to you and all your listeners.
All right. We wish you the best. What is your Instagram handle? I know you just started, but what is it?
Mike McRae Online. McRae is M-A-C-R-A-E. So, yeah, it's just Mike McRae Online is what my Instagram is. So, yeah, go follow me, man.
We're going to go over right now and follow you. Yeah. Thank you again, Mike. It's a pleasure. And keep doing your thing, brother.
Gentlemen, pleasure to talk to you guys. It was a lot of fun. Thank you very much.